This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. Broadcasting live on the Civic Media Radio Network, it's the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday pre-election day extravaganza. Matt and Patrick here. Patrick, how was your weekend? Was it good?
It was pretty good. I sat around and watched the game yesterday.
Well, and considering we're broadcasting across a good chunk of Wisconsin, that would be the game you're referring to would be the Vikings-Washington, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I was trying to use a leaf blower in 25-mile-an-hour winds and swearing at everyone, Well, sorry, neighbor kids. I was Roy Kent. I was Roy Kent with the neighbor kids.
Well, if there are 25-mile-an-hour winds, isn't that trying to do the job for you?
It did a shockingly nice job. I woke up this morning. I had to go out there and try to – because there was just no – I mean – what's the old thing about going to the bathroom on a boat into the wind, that sort of thing? There was no point in even trying. So I quit yesterday and went and did other things. And so this morning went out there, and you are right. The nature did it. I don't know whose yard they're in, but that dude's going to be pissed. Oh, my God. It's all the leaves in your yard. Sorry, that's God. He really must not like you. Either that or you just need some extra leaves for compost or something. I don't know.
It kind of reminds me, last week I was driving in my neighborhood and I looked to my left at a stop sign and there was a house and the bags of yard pickup stretched from the garage pretty much three quarters of the way down the driveway.
One of those houses, huh?
Yeah. Oh, God.
How come some places, some communities have bag pickup while some other ones you can just push your leaves into the street and they come by and just pick them up for you? Not in bags, not anything, just litter basically, God's way. And you throw it in there and I'm like, how do I get one of those neighborhoods? Hey, it's your problem now, city. I had to put them in the bags. I've got a lot of where we have our neighborhood. We have a lot of really established trees, and I've probably got, I think, at least 2 70-year-old trees in my backyard. It's one of the reasons why we bought the house. It's just, we have this magnificent shade come summertime. It's lovely, but of course, there's a trade-off. Now, I will say this. If you've ever been on the East Coast, I was up in New England. I was in Rhode Island. We don't have trees. They have trees which are basically their own ecosystems. And the amount of leaves, we couldn't bag them. There was just not enough. And back in the 1970s, I mean, we just put it into industrial tar bags, I guess. Who cares about pollution? Just throw that into nature. But we couldn't even do that, because it was just so many leaves. We just had to – we took them, put them on a tarp, and took them basically – in our backyard was one of those old New England rock fences. I don't know who built it. Someone in the ye old days. Well, it was their problem. It was kind of a wooded area with a little bit of a little frog pond in it. And so we just dumped the leaves back there because there's just no way. And there are some places in Wisconsin, too, I've been, where it's like, sign of the cross, my friend. You're going to be busy. You know, where you use the rake and you just, okay, it's not moving. that's a lot of leaves. Oh, gosh. I don't think it's too bad right now. I hope it's going well. I will say, can I make this argument? I know this might not be a popular thing, but once the leaves are cleaned up across Wisconsin, Minnesota, I think November is one of the prettiest months there is. Yeah, you're bundled up. Yeah, it's not exactly, the greatest weather, and it's getting darker and it's getting colder. But there is something very nice about November after the leaves are gone, and the pumpkins are gone. It's looking out and kind of in this kind of, just waiting for snow environment. I like it. And yeah, I might be, you know, counterculture, but I think November is actually one of the most underrated months out there. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I got a main point coming up here in a little bit, but I have to. Patrick, this is me. I am putting my foot down now. So on Saturday, one of the things that's great things about living in a metro area is the theater. I love the arts. Great art museums, great theater, dance, the concerts that come through. By the way, all my best to the band Low. Yeah, I'm just, you know, very sad about Mimi. And, we had Alan on the air with us last year with Rock the Garden, and very sad about her passing through to cancer. So all my best to everyone there and all the fans of that band. But back to my point. I love living in a metro area because you get the arts. And it doesn't mean that you don't get good arts. I have lived in small towns, and there have been exceptional little theater outposts and stuff like that that is great. But, I mean, you do get, you know, when you live in a city, you know, you know, Milwaukee, Madison, Minneapolis, you do get some very good theater. And not just at the university in Wisconsin down there. I used to live in Beloit, so we'd go up to Madison because there sure as hell is not anything to do in Beloit. Have you been to that godforsaken hellscape? No, I'd go to Madison. Well, I guess I could go to South Beloit. Oh, God.
Well, that's even worse because now you're in Illinois.
Well, and then comes Rockford. And come on, man. What are you doing? Madison. Go north. Go to Madison. Anyway, and to all my friends in Beloit, who I know a lot of people at Beloit College, all my best. I'm joking, tongue in cheek. I worked there a long time ago at a radio station down there. Anyway, but I go to Madison. And Madison, not only do you have the great University of Wisconsin theatrics program there, but you also have a lot of concerts come through and some great theater in town. It's a nice town. I like Madison. Madison is a great town. Here in Minneapolis, St. Paul, we have the Guthrie Theater. And if you've not been, the Guthrie Theater, as far as plays go, it's as good as anything you'll see on Broadway. It really is. And I'm dead serious. I know that's like, whoa! No, it is. It really is that good. The musicals, they're not bad. They're very good. They're basically outside of Chicago and New York, maybe L.A., the musicals are probably there. But the plays that they put on, I'm looking forward. I got tickets to go see them. They're going to put on Hamlet this year, which I cannot wait to see. I've never seen them do that one. So looking forward to all this fantastic thing. So we're at this play. Sally and Tom is the name of the play. Just wrapped up over at the Guthrie. Fantastic. Just fantastic. The story of Thomas Jefferson and, of course, the slave he had an affair with. And basically, it through this story that they told of them trying to put on this play, they basically talk about how do you talk about Thomas Jefferson? How do you relate to him? Because I know there's a lot of Republicans who would want to go out there and just say, well, you're trying to find the great guy. I'm fine. But he had a lot of slaves, and he raped one repeatedly and had kids with her repeatedly. He was not a very nice guy when it came to his slaves, and that's just the reality of it. That is just the reality of it. And so how do you talk about it? Anyway, great play. Sitting there waiting for during the show, I would say at least five people had their phones go off. And God bless you, theatrical actors, stage actors, bless you how you can go through and not lose it. But we are at a point, and I get it, a lot of old people. There were a lot of old people there. I get it. But for goodness sakes, the program says turn off your phone. They put up a big sign that basically is just, you know, a glowing light that says turn off your phone. And then they say turn off your phone before they start the play. And all of a sudden they say, I don't know where my phone is. I'm not going to get a call. I'll be okay. Ring, ring, ring. Ooh, I'm embarrassed. I want to offer my services to the Guthrie Theater, any theaters in Madison, Milwaukee. I will do this one for you for free because, for goodness sakes, your theatrical companies do not deserve this. So I will come out. I'll kind of piece this together here, see if I can pull this off. I will come on out and said, hi, welcome to the theater. I hope you enjoy the show. This is really going to be a humdinger of a night. Now, you've heard us say, turn off your damn phones, okay? You have heard us. But right now, there are people who have belligerently said they're not going to turn off their phones, even though they're not going to get a call from anyone of any real importance. It's not like they're a doctor or, you know, basically there's a meteor coming to Earth and that's the first guy they're going to call. No, no one like that. And they convince themselves that no one's going to call me for this, and all of a sudden they get three calls during the show. So I'm going to take a minute here and wait. At this point, I will take, and then I'll come back and say, okay, I'm still waiting because I already know there's some of you people out there who are just trying to be as belligerent as possible and saying, my phone won't go off. Get your damn phone out now. Unless you are on call and you have a life or death situation, turn the damn thing off now. I'll wait another 10 seconds. Okay, do not make you tell you again. Turn off your phone. And I'll say it a third time. Thank you. It really is annoying and selfish for you to basically sit there and not turn off your phone at the beginning of a theatrical performance. So just remember that. You're just being rude when you're just being this belligerent. Thanks and enjoy the show. And scene. So if the Guthrie or any theaters in Madison, Milwaukee, you want that one, I will do it for free. I will do it for free. I'll call it charity because if I can actually get these people to turn their damn phones off as they get ready for a show, I think I will have accomplished something on this planet within my lifetime. Oh, it's the McNeil effect. Oh, heaven forbid we see a play without not having, you know, your ringtone embarrass you like that. So just turn it off. All right. The meat and potatoes of it when I do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Speaking of Madison, broadcasting live on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM in Madison, WTTN, 1580 AM in Columbus, Air Support Radio, 98.3 Oshkosh, as well as 1100 AM WISS in Berlin, and locally grown radio, WFHR, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, as well as on the flagship on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota and Minneapolis, St. Paul. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday, 952-946-6205. So, I really wish I could just do it like this and we'd be done. So here you go. The rest of the show is one simple thing. Go and vote. I really wish that's all it would take. I wish I could say, you know, go and vote. And you'd say, oh, okay, yeah, all right. That's a good idea. I probably should do that. That's not the worst idea I've ever heard. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate the reminder. Thank you. Now, I will start off as I usually start these shows, with the one of the reasons why I'm a very adamant fan of voting. And I do apply this across the board. I don't care who you are. We live in a country where you get to choose the political leaders that you have. And don't get me wrong. I know there's snarky lefty guys out there going, but man, what about all these things you're doing to try and stop a vote? All right. I'm going to fall back to what I've said for the last year, 10 or so years. If every Democrat shows up to vote, there is not a damn thing they can do. They will lose. End of story. If every Democrat shows up to vote, not only will Minnesota go blue, not only will Wisconsin return to the blue, but states like Florida and Texas and, you know, Georgia and Arizona, who've already started flipping blue, Ohio, Missouri, these states would go blue, blue, blue. And they, as much as, and that is the great secret here. It comes down to what we have the right to do, and that is to pick our elected leaders. It is stunning to me. It is stunning. stunning the amount of people that just don't understand the value of that. Or we'll sit there and say, well, my guy's not on the ballot. You know, there's nothing else I need to do. We learned our lesson in 2016. We learned our lesson from 2016, not in 2016, from 2016. I remember that night staying up all night long, looking at the ceiling and saying, what the hell did these people do? It's not like 30 million Democrats did not vote. And Donald Trump won the presidency of the United States. And 4 years later, the same people who spent the next 2 months after that election insisting, well, there really was no difference between the two of them. After 4 years, and we saw three Supreme Court justices who just got rid of Roe v. Wade, who got rid of separation of church and state and schools, who basically have turned the police into a, we can't ever question law enforcement ever organization. We realize the ugly truth is that, yeah, it's not the most perfect system. We got two choices for the most part. I've already lamented repeatedly about how much I can't stand the fact that when one of the two major parties doesn't run a candidate in a race, so it's only one choice, because really, what are we doing at this point? But it's not the most perfect system, but you have two choices. And that is maybe it's a bit of a flaw, fatal flaw of the Democrats, is that they I have this person in my mind who's like an anime character who really would be great. And you don't go vote because that person's not on the ballot and doesn't exist. They're anime. Doesn't mean you shouldn't go vote. People have a tendency of getting frustrated because they feel as if the system is not fixable. And the system actually is very fixable. And we've had in the last 100 or so years two cases where in an insanely short period of time, you saw dramatic changes in American political landscape. I'll go to the first one, and that is the constitutional amendment to get rid of liquor in this country. There was a fantastic – I was at a museum one time. They had an exhibit about that, and I didn't know that much about it. There had always been kind of, you know, this anti-liquor, anti-drinking political, you know, party that had been around in the 1880s, 1890s. But they didn't really do that much. They really didn't make much of a scene. But then all of a sudden, just very suddenly, starting about 1910, they started winning seats. And what was considered to be a fringe issue that never had a chance was very quickly made a reality. And it wasn't just in the U.S. Congress. It was nationwide. The anti-liquor movement was strong in almost all these states. And they basically – they took an issue that could not have passed in 1912 and got a constitutional amendment passed and quick in 1918. I think actually finally got approved a little later. But that was insane. And what it was people took advantage of the system as it existed. And they ran candidates who basically echoed their point of view, and they got there. I don't want to talk about the absolute garbage human being that's Rand Paul. But Ron Paul just did it too. Now, he realized a weakness in the system, and he exploited it. Starting in about 2008. He realized, well, you choose who is on the national ticket through these state caucuses and primaries. So if you control these state caucuses and primaries, well, then you win. And we have to remember, the Republican Party was putting forward candidates the senator that passed away from – Arizona, McCain, John McCain. Thank you. Sorry. Thank you. John McCain, 2008. Mitt Romney, who looks like the seasoned veteran now of the Republican Party, 2012. And then 4 years later, Donald Trump. And that happened almost overnight because Ron Paul started taking over the Republican primaries and caucuses. And by the time people realized what was going on, all of a sudden, here comes the clown control brigade, this extremist far right element of the Republican Party that came on out. And it was a long game and they took it over. And look where the Republican Party is at today. Marjorie Taylor Greene, a person that 15 years ago wouldn't have even been allowed into a Republican event, has vowed that if unless McCarthy does exactly what she wants him to do, that basically that she will take over that party, and she's got a decent chance of doing so. It is scary. But that whole nightmare scenario aside, it does prove the system still can be worked, and if you just get out there and put the effort in. Mark in the sack, hold on. I'll get to your call here in just a second. It's the Matt McNeil Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. On the Civic Media Radio Network, it's the Matt McNeil Show on your Monday pre-election edition of the show. Good to have you with us today, 952-946-6205. I know a lot of the stations, especially across the Wisconsin markets, will have live local coverage of what's going to be going on tomorrow night throughout the state. If you do want to find out where it's going to happen here in Minnesota, you are more than welcome to tune into our flagship. We'll be actually covering the Minnesota coverage up here from starting at 7 o'clock. I got to do two radio shows tomorrow. I'm usually lazy. So we'll have live coverage going well into the evening here. Probably at least till 10, maybe even later, with myself and Brett here. So, if you do like to join us, you're more than welcome to. At least we'll have a lot of the Minnesota results, and we might even check in occasionally with the Wisconsin folks and find out what's going on over there as well. Considering Wisconsin's part of the metro area, it's good to know that sort of thing. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Mark in the sack has been holding, there for a while. Let's bring him on in there. Thanks for holding, Mark. Welcome on in.
Yeah, thanks. And, unless you're this year especially, you have to vote for the Democrats because the Republicans apparently have given up on democracy.
Yeah.
That given that they've failed to condemn, unqualifiedly condemn the insurrection on January 6th, unqualifiedly failed to condemn, or some of them actually have participated in the fake elector scheme across the country. It was a nationwide conspiracy to do that. And if you're not willing to look at that and say that this person did this, violated their oath to the Constitution of the United States, is unqualified for any office within the United States. I mean, it is beyond me how these people haven't been run out of town on a rail because they are just, they're oath breakers.
I will make this, and Mark, tell me if you agree with this, right? If Dwight D. Eisenhower, a Republican, or even Ronald Reagan got wind that a senator like Ron Johnson was attempting to overthrow the government of the United States, I got to believe either one of them would have clocked them, especially Eisenhower. He would have dropped them like a fly. And it really is sad to see how far detached from reality, how far that the Republican Party has gotten to put party over country, over religion, over family, over everything in this country. It really is disturbing.
They failed it, mostly, and I'm no scholar, but I picked up a copy of the Federalist Papers just to glean through it, what the founders were actually thinking. And they intended our government to actually promote the general welfare. They intended our government to be religiously neutral. I mean, that is why there's a provision in the Constitution of no religious tests in this country.
Well,
I mean, this country was... It ties my tongue sometimes, and I have to avoid, remain FCC compliant. But I mean that it is just disgusting that, CJ will be calling in and saying Ron Johnson's the best, red tsunami and all this kind of stuff, And CJ has given up on democracy. He's either given up on common sense or he's just a troll.
You mean that idiot that called me earlier, CJ? Oh, okay. Gee, I wonder if I'll let him on the air today. Give us a call, CJ. We'll put you on hold. We'll see how long it takes for me to talk with you. Mark in the sack, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I feel your pain, man. I feel your pain. Thank you very much. He tried to overthrow the government of the United States. He tried to overthrow the government of the United States. They're at the point where they are gleefully talking about throwing out legitimate elections because their guy won't win. And once again, starting on Wednesday, we're going to hear it. Well, this election was bad. This election was bad. Well, on that same ballot, these Republicans won. Well, those were clearly legitimate victories, but the rest of them where the Republicans didn't, something was going on. You know, that's the thing which is crazy is that, you know, okay, so your argument is they fixed the election, but just to kind of keep everyone off the trail, they allowed Republicans to win in certain districts. You guys are idiots. Okay, let me get this. Let me get this right. So you're going to go through the time and effort to basically put in, you know, Ocean's 13 type of card counting ballot machines across 30 or so states. So you're already looking at thousands and thousands and thousands of people having to be involved in this scheme. That you're going to do. You're going to do this, okay? And they're going to do this because they're going to fix this so that the Democrats win races. But, here's where it gets really tricky. Not all the races, just certain ones that make a lot of sense when you look at them. I see. See, yeah, I mean, on my ballot, six Republicans won. But you see, they only won to throw people off the scent. Yeah, that scent you're smelling is your head up your own backside, okay? Let's just put it that way. Come on. How stupid do you have to believe that is going on? That they're fixing the entire system just so that they can have the other side win a little bit. You're not very smart if you believe that. You really aren't. You haven't really thought that through, have you? You haven't really thought that through. Wait a minute here. That doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? It's almost like I've been manipulated by the Republican Party just to believe anything that they have to say without having to think about it my own self. I need to take some time for self-reflection and think about what I've been doing with my life and why I'm allowing myself to be dragged around like some sort of farm animal. No, never mind. No, get those Democrats. Oh, yeah. I will say, should we go into... I've been talking about Simon Rosenberg, who's been doing some very good work as talking about a lot of these early numbers here. First of all, the most important thing you have to understand is this early vote has so far been a nightmare for Republicans. It's been a nightmare for Republicans. Early vote from Target early, well, this was 2 days of voting to go. Turnout was up 8 to 10% from 2018. The Democrats' lead on average 50 to 39 had a 4.3 million vote firewall lead already. At this point in 2018, the Democrats, and 2018 was a good Democratic year. In 2018, at that point, the Democrats led 46 to 45. In 2020, the Democrats led 48 to 41. They are now leading, that's not 7 points, it's now 11 points. The final vote is only generally 2 to 4 points different from early voting in 2018 and 2020. So let's just give the Republicans the full 4 points. They're still basically at a 3-point disadvantage. They're still at a 3-point disadvantage. That's called numbers. The firewall, they basically talked to Nevada due to big Democratic turnout lead is the firewall. Meadows should be doing the same across the U.S. Here are the states where the growth in Democratic vote share compared to 2020 is greater than in Nevada. Nevada is considered to have a very strong Democratic turnout. Arizona, Georgia, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, North Carolina, New York, Ohio, New York. New York's listed twice. Pennsylvania, Texas, Virginia, Washington, Wisconsin. So the Democrats have been turning out to vote early in Wisconsin. That's for sure. And I don't think that that's – I mean, my gosh, you've had a front row seat with someone who basically tried to overthrow the government of the United States of America. That's not too hard to understand. The early voting in Minnesota so far – and this is from Brian Bax. The Minnesota accepted absentee ballot count is up to 538,883 in the latest stats. So the population of Minnesota as a whole is, what, 5.7 million. And there's people who are below the voting age and that are under this. So I'd say that's probably, you know, somewhere around 1/7 of the entire voting population of the state of Minnesota has already voted. And once again, it's been overwhelmingly Democrat. It doesn't mean that there isn't still this massive effort, and I do mean massive effort, to basically convince the Democrats not to show up. Because there is only – I've said this. How many times have I said this now this election cycle? I've said it every time. Pretty much there's only one number that matters. There's only one number that matters. Democratic turnout. The Republicans are constant. I mean, they're a zoo exhibit of howler monkeys, but I mean, they're consistent. Actually, I'll tell you what. I'm going to come back to that because there might be a problem for the Republicans, which is kind of interesting. I'll come back to that. But they have been, up until this point, been a very consistent, reliable vote. They're all going to vote tomorrow, every one of them. Even if they feel that there's no chance at winning, they will show up and vote. We saw this in 2020. Trump got more votes than he did in 2016. Thank God Biden got a lot more. And Biden got a lot more because why? Democrats showed up to vote. Ta-da! See, it's that simple. Yes, the early vote has been positive for the Democrats, but it comes down to every freaking Democrat voting either within the early voting that's still going on today or tomorrow. That's it. If every Democrat votes, either has already voted, votes through the rest of the day today, or votes in person tomorrow, well, guess what? Democrats are going to win across the board. It is why you are seeing still this unbelievable effort by Republicans, the news media. I mean, first of all, let me take a quick moment about the national news media. The national news media can't help themselves, whether it's because they're lazy or they're basically being ordered to do it. I don't know. But it's embarrassing to look at the LA Times this morning and see the headline, "Democrats are glum. Democrats are glum." And the first thing I said is, when was the last time the Republican The LA Times ran a headline, "Republicans are glum," the day before an election? Seriously. The news media cannot help themselves. They will always paint the Democrats as losing, coming from behind. They're basically, there's no point in them voting. And Republicans, even though, sure, they tried to overthrow the government and applauded at the thought of the Speaker of the House's husband being violently attacked with a hammer, but they're plucky upstarts. God, it's annoying. Got Russian trolls out there. Elon Musk, a.k.a. Russian troll. You got it, depending on where you're at. You have this concerted effort, and I am not joking, millions of dollars are being spent this election cycle to do one thing: discourage Democrats from voting. Now, I'm not necessarily saying the news media of this country is in on it. I have some zero doubt some news media is because they're owned by Republicans. Zero doubt of that. But at the same time, I think what they'll fall back to is, to a point, a legit argument. Democrats have for years said, you know what, the young vote's going to show up this time. And like the guy waiting for the homecoming queen to come pick him up for her homecoming dance, it just does not happen. It's not that the young voters don't get excited. They do at times get very excited. I remember we were talking about you're trying to get rid of the no Sunday liquor sales in Minnesota, and every young voter was all of a sudden out there and nuanced, registered, ready to fight. It was weird. But that was kind of there, and I think if the youth vote comes on out, they'll be there. But the media will look at this until they do and say, well, until they do show up, we're not going to really act like they are. We'll talk more about this and what you can do tonight when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Broadcasting live right here on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, the Shaw and Waukesha, Milwaukee, Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 98.9 FM and 1230 AM in Wausau, and Lake Air, WXCE 1260 in Amory. It is the Matt McNeil Show coming to you from the flagship at AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota in Minneapolis, St. Paul, 952-946-6205. So, vote. That simple. Vote. You need to vote. If you haven't voted for the 2022 election, you need to vote either today or tomorrow. You need to vote. You need to contact everyone you know and make sure they have voted. And here's where you get into this, because now the second I say, oh, you need to make some phone calls to friends of yours. Oh, I don't want to know. Now, first of all, we have to also deal with the stigma of the fact that pretty much no one under the age of 35 uses an iPhone or any other smartphone for a phone. For God's sakes, it's a phone. You can call and talk to people with it. Heaven forbid you actually have to do this. So text or TikTok, whatever you have to do to get in touch with everyone. My OnlyFans page, and yes, it does exist. I have an OnlyFans page. I'm not telling you what the name is. You got to go find it yourself. It's out there. But I will put out a voting message on my OnlyFans page. Pretty cheap subscriptions on that one too, by the way, FYI. You don't know where you're going to get that person to go vote, and that could be the deciding vote right there. So I can only hope. You need to call everyone you know. This freaking matters. They're taking away your rights. That's not a theory. That's not a hypothetical. That's the reality. They have finally gotten to the point where they're going to take away your rights. And if that is not, and damn you, if that is not enough for you to basically say, well, I need to go out there. There is no TV show on Netflix or video game or anything that should matter more than trying to preserve your rights. Because we have Republicans who have said they're going to do everything to make a women's right to choose completely go away in this country. They have vowed to vote to get rid of abortion nationally, across the board. They have vowed to get rid of contraception. And I could talk about, gay marriage and interracial marriage. But let me talk about, and I'm not discounting those, for God's sakes. Those are rights they vow to take away from you. and from those people. And you probably know someone who is either in a gay marriage or in an interracial marriage. And the Republicans have vowed that they are going to basically make that to where it's going to be illegal in some states. But if I may, for all those people out there that say to me, well, I don't know about it. I don't know if I really – is this really enough for me to go vote? They want to take away contraception. Now, I understand you've got your game plan in the world. You're going to go to college or trade school. You got this really good gig and you got this. And so one night you decide you're going to go on out there and you're out having fun, having a few drinks, and you run into someone who's a really nice person. And you get there and things work out great. They work out great. And you end up having some fun that night. But because Republicans have made contraception illegal, you don't have any. And, well, you try to take a risk or two. How about we say it like that? And the next thing you know, you're getting a call in 3 weeks from that one-night stand who says to you, well, I'm pregnant and you're the dad and I'm not going to get rid of it. We should have had contraception. And you say to yourself, well, I would have, but the Republicans made it illegal. Well, that's irrelevant. Your options basically are to remain celibate or vote Democrat. It really is there where it is. And that's not even the worst one. The sodomy laws. Holy God. When, particularly in the southern United States, people would kick open the door of private residences, go into the bedrooms of those private residences, and if you were having sex with someone that they did not approve of in a manner that they did not approve in, you went to jail. You went to jail. That you could not even be in the privacy of your own house with the individual that you love doing something you both enjoy. That with all the blinds closed, the windows closed, you couldn't do that. That they would kick open the door of your house. They would tell you you're under arrest because even though you're in private, they think what you're doing is icky. And so henceforth, you get to go to jail. And you will lose your job, you'll lose your house, you'll lose your car, you'll do that. Or you can vote Democrat. It's that simple. It really is. Now, I could sit here and all day long and tell you the benefits of your education system, health and human services, the environment, transportation. I could talk about how the elderly will be taken care of with the Democratic Party. I could talk about how farmers who have been screwed over consistently by the Republican Party would be much better off with Democrats in charge with a true agricultural policy that is there to help all farmers, not just the massive corporate ones. Bring back the dairy farms. Small dairy farmers. That'd be nice. Go on out there and help in the wildlife population so we have better hunting seasons and hunt better fishing seasons. I can tell you all day long. I can run through policies. I can run through all sorts of things. I can sit here and I can tell you about all the bad things that every Republican has ever done. I can. And trust me, it's a long list. But at the end of the day, that should be what should be enough is the fact that they now want to take away your rights. Not only have they taken away women's rights to choose the health care that they want over their own body, they will take away your right to contraception. They will take away your right to have private relations in the manner that you choose in your own private residence. They will do that. So I need for you to get off your uncomfortable chair and make sure you vote, okay? Make sure you vote. Make sure that your friends are voting. And ask them. The Secretary of State's webpage, pretty much in every state, has all the details on how you vote and where you vote. You can enter in your address, and it will tell you exactly where your polling place is. And heck, you can even, in many states, see a sample ballot. There will be a blue wave tomorrow. How big of a blue wave depends on if the Democrats get out and vote. It's that simple. The Democrats have to vote. That's it. Vote. Vote. For God's sakes, vote. Because your rights are on the line. Wisconsin folks, Devil Radio, they'll continue this discussion going in the next hour. Minneapolis St. Paul, hour two up next. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, hour number two on your Monday. I don't know. Ken Martin might join us from the DFL. We might hear from him today. We might not. I do not know. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It is really amazing how much I have been stunned at the amount of Republican fraud polls that have flooded the markets now. That really are just pushing this narrative that, oh, Republicans without really any evidence and any, if you look at the methodology, it doesn't make any sense. But yet these people, because the media is just too damn lazy to do their own damn stuff, it's too pricey and stuff, they take these polls and they say, well, it's not really from the Republican Party, it's from the Party of the Republicans. And they're like, oh, okay, so it's independent. And they put it out there. I will say this, that I am of the mindset that it is when you look at the independent polls, the Democrats are leading nationwide. When you look at the polls that are the Republican fraud polls, well, they're the ones that are telling themselves, oh, we're doing fantastic out there. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Patrick, well, first of all, can I just say, Patrick, I did not bring this up with Wisconsin folks. It's not good right now for the Green Bay Packers and all those guys. That's why I didn't want to bring it up. The best part of yesterday, that bowling touchdown, the end zone celebration where they bowled the football and knocked everyone down, and then the one guy was doing the pin that rolls around and then falls over eventually.
That was fantastic.
That was quite good. They were doing well until – who is that? Who's the Washington quarterback?
Taylor Heinicke, he actually used to play for the Vikings. He was the third string guy for a couple years, about 5-6 years ago.
When he started getting cocky, that's when the Vikings did really well yesterday. Now, I generally don't talk too much about sports, but if I can make this one point, I went back and watched the extended highlights of the Detroit Green Bay game, as well as also the Chicago Miami game yesterday, when I had the windstorm that came through, which I guess I can't be too upset about. I can't be too bothered by it. The wind, it was windy, but yet knocked all the leaves out of the trees. So I was able to kind of get everything up today. But because I had some extra time yesterday, what I decided to do was go watch these highlights. I can say this. The Vikings are going to make the playoffs. That's for sure. They might not be the one seed and get the bye, but they're going to make the playoffs. Considering the wild card, I think that even the Packers and the Bears are only like a game and a half behind in the wild card. Is that correct? Is that the right number?
I think something like that. Yes, there were a lot of teams hanging around that 4-5, 5-4, 3-6, kind of chasing that last playoff spot.
If I could make one point, if I'm looking at the other three teams in the NFC North, the Bears, the Lions, the Packers, of those three teams, the team that I think has the most likely chance of maybe starting to turn their season around and go out and make the playoffs would be the Bears. The second team would be the Detroit Lions, because that Packers team is an absolute mess right now. And all of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers... People want to kind of skip past the fact that there were like multiple throws that didn't look like Aaron Rodgers was throwing them. It looked like, you know, some third string guy was throwing them.
Especially that pick that the defensive end made in the end zone.
Yeah, how underthrown was that?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, that's a touchdown. Every single time we've, you know, seen him throw that, because that, you know, the tight end was, you know, 4 yards behind the defensive end, and Rodgers just threw a terrible pass.
He looked horrible. And they have no – they tried to get wide receivers and tight ends to move, you know, go out there, and no one wanted to go there. No one wanted to go there. It is interesting to watch social media when the Packers and the Vikings are playing, because in both states there is this – not only is this go team go, but there is a – hatred of the other team. And right now, the Viking, Minnesota Viking contingent is just having the best time ripping on the Packers, who are a mess, and I don't see how they're turning this around in the next few years. They've got a mess on their hands. And if I'm – and I don't think the Vikings – I here's my prediction. Aaron Rodgers will not be quarterbacking that team when the Vikings play him the second to last weekend of the season. They'll be so far out of it at that point that he'll have a phantom injury and they'll just get him on the sidelines, because the last thing they need is for the Vikings to go out there and pummel the guy, and when they're looking for home field advantage for the playoffs and they're basically looking for tee times. So, my guess. I don't talk a lot about it, but God. And then Gophers, I don't know what to think about you. That Nebraska team is B-A-D bad. And the fact that it took you everything in the kitchen sink to win that game, I don't know. I feel good. It's like, what, we got Northwestern this next weekend?
Yes, and they're even worse than Nebraska.
Well, but how many times has that happened? They've had a team come in and beat us. So, yeah, Nebraska, and then Northwestern, then Iowa, then Wisconsin. Those are our final three.
Yep. And, and I said this on Twitter on Saturday that, you know, I've seen a lot of Gophers teams that look good in non-conference play and get exposed as soon as they start playing Big Ten teams. This might have been the most disappointing of all of those teams, that I thought they would have been so much better. And I know I wasn't expecting them to beat Penn State, but Purdue, that was an awful loss.
Yeah, it was. And I think they should have beaten Illinois and put a little bit more there, too, if they wanted to be a contender, that's for sure. So, all right. Anyway, enough about that. Gary is in Minneapolis, 952-946-6205. Let's take Gary's call. Welcome on in, Garrett.
Yeah, hi, Matt.
Hi.
Good to hear your voice.
Well, I decided to give you a call.
You know, it really turns my stomach. Working people turning to Republicans to fix the economy. And, you know, I guess people nowadays for many years haven't heard about the President Hoover. And then we had four terms of Democrats, I believe, Roosevelt and Truman, maybe five terms. So, anyway, people knew that. I guess you got to get punched in the belly yourself to really understand what's going on, because we're in a lot of danger right now. And there's scapegoating all kinds of people. If they're women, it's minority races, you name it. So I guess they like to turn everybody against each other.
Well, and that's, you know, and it's a textbook case of how you do this. I mean, there have been times where evil governments have taken away the rights of people, and they do it because they convince just enough people, well, I won't take away your rights, I'll just take away their rights. And that's kind of the modern Republican today. The modern Republican doesn't think what's going to happen is going to happen to them. When they say – Republicans say, oh, we're going to take away Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare. Well, they're in their own minds. They say, well, they're going to take away their Medicare or Medicaid, Social Security, not ours, not people who are registered Republicans. Ours stays put, not understanding that, of course, theirs is on the chopping block. And they just – and that's how they convince themselves. And the reality is then they get shown the truth that, oh, yeah, those Republicans were going to take my stuff. But then they'll find another excuse to basically say, well, but that's okay. You know, QAnon is just as far right loon ball as those guys are, as just detached from reality. That's only a hop, skip, and a jump away from – where a lot of these Republicans already are. And I've said this line, and I'll stand by this line. There are a lot of Republicans who would walk into their house, find Donald Trump having sex with their spouse, and the first words out of their mouth would be, damn Democrats. because they just don't know how to criticize. Or do they? I have been reading – I saw a few different stories about this from some of the media outlets about what is going to be the impact, if any, of the 20% or so of Republicans who do not identify as MAGA, who are furious about the January 6th insurrection, who do not feel as if the Republican Party represents them anymore, and are not excited about voting for extremist candidates. And the reality is that is an interesting question. Let me make sure for the record I say what needs to be said. Every Republican is going to show up and vote. I really do think that. I just don't think that they're at the point yet where they say, well, dear God, yeah, this is too bad. I'm going to sit this one out. I still think most Republicans will come on out and vote tomorrow. That being said, would I be surprised if some of them, especially the people who feel as if trying to overthrow the government of the United States of America is not cool, would they sit out that election? Maybe. I'm going to repeat what I've been saying, and this is basically the entire show today, is vote. You need to vote. I've heard from a friend of the show, Dallas, who is absolutely an outstanding individual. And Dallas said, I'm pulling this up here, took my son to early vote over lunch day in Eagan. The line was out the door and the parking lot was overflowing. That's what she saw there. There are signs at these universities of lines out the door of people ready to vote. Generally, one of the things that the Republicans have tried to do is try to suggest that you can't vote if you're in line. I do believe in this country that as long as you're in line to vote prior to the doors closing, then you can vote. They cannot turn you away if you got into line. So it will be interesting to see how that plays out. I am a little concerned about some of the antics and some of the rhetoric that's come from the right. But the reality is a lot of that's to scare you. I have zero doubt tomorrow one or two Republicans are going to get dragged out of a polling place. Without a doubt in my mind. Some guy saying, you know, the minute a minority walks through that door, after watching white guy after white guy after white guy vote, and they say, I need to see those people's papers. You know, that's you know, and let me show you where the door is. I have zero doubt that that's going to happen tomorrow. It just comes down to voting. It comes down to voting. You have to think that every Republican is going to go vote. Every Republican is going to go vote en masse. The reality is you got to get out there and every Democrat votes. There's nothing they can do. There is nothing they can do to stop the Democrats from winning. There is nothing they can do. So it just takes you going out there and voting. There are a lot of great Democratic candidates. I've talked to an insane amount of Democrats of the day. And if you are wondering about your candidate, there's a decent chance I've hit at least one of your candidates, whether they're the House rep or the senator, maybe even both. For the most part, I probably hit one of them on one of those interviews. We should tell people you can go to SoundCloud and type in or go to the Democrats of the Day page on SoundCloud. And basically you can, you know, just, you know, you can find so many different candidates there. Go listen to them. Find out what they're about. But you got to vote. You've got to vote. I mean, it's everything. It's everything. And every single year I sit here and beg and plead for you to vote. And most years, I've been so disappointed. Some years not. I can remember the first election I was here at the station, which was 2010. Oh my God! I remember looking at that and just sort of saying, "Did all the Democrats just stay home?" I then remember though, in 2012. God, the bloodletting of the Republicans. My God, how many Republicans lost in that year? Oh, my gosh, that was a lot. And every time, one metric stays the same, number of Republican voters. Every time, one metric changes, the Democratic turnout. So if you are a Democrat, if you are listening to me and you have not voted, make sure you have your plan in place to either vote tonight early, up until polls close, or make sure you're going to your polling place tomorrow. The Secretary of State's page has all that information ready for you, tell you exactly who you're going to vote for, where you need to vote at, can tell you if you're registered, tell you how you can get a ballot and vote if you are not, and shows you how you do that. It's really simple. And then you have to get out of your freaking comfort zone, and you have to contact everyone you know. Everyone you know. These are the first rights they're going to take away from you. And they're going to gleefully take away the rest of them. And they'll keep telling you, but we're really not taking away your rights as they take them away. I don't care who is got the DFL next to their name. They're all better than what the Republicans are putting out. You have people in the Republican Party who have felt as if the January 6th insurrection was nothing. Was perfectly justified, or was leftist terrorist, and generally all three within 1 minute. It's really kind of weird. You have people out there who feel as if the election was stolen, even though they have no evidence of it. You cannot convince them differently, even though that there is nothing that shows that there was any fraud of the magnitude that they'd ever suggested happening. Nothing. And they've been asked over and over again to produce their evidence, and they have nothing. And you have a lot of Republicans who up until mid-June, late June of this year, were telling people how proud they were going to be to outlaw abortion nationwide. And it wasn't just a one-time deal. They've been saying this for years and years and years and years and years. And all of a sudden, Roe v. Wade happened, and all of a sudden, they started lying and saying, well, I don't know where you get the impression I'm against abortion and choice from you. It is really that simple. They're lying. Of course they're going to try to outlaw this. And until the Democratic mentality changes, where the young vote shows up, everyone shows up, they show up every single election, they hold people accountable for their actions. Until that happens, they will continue to do this. I really wish I could just say vote, and that would be enough. I know this sounds like a broken record. I know that this sounds repetitive, but this is the most important damn thing you can do. And so I don't care what you've convinced yourself of. The reality is, do you want to lose your right to have contraception? Do you want to lose your right to have private relations with whom you want to in the manner you want to in your own private house? Because if you want those two things, you'd better vote for the Democrats, because the Republicans have vowed to bring those and end those, contraception and individual freedom within your own private residence, in your own private bedroom. They have vowed to do so, and they will force religion on you. They will gut everything out there. They will take as many tax dollars as they can, give it to billionaires and millionaires, and then basically make you pay for the rest of it, or just cut your services down to nothing. And then when you say, well, gosh, why is my life so bad? They'll look at you with a straight face and say, because you're not working hard enough, as they take another $100 out of your back pocket and give it to a billionaire so that their great, 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 great grandkid never has to work a day in their life. Their great, 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 great grandkid can sit on a beach and drink Cristal in 300 years, courtesy of your tax dollars. Yeah, It matters. It matters massively. So please get out there and vote. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. By the way, if I do win the Powerball, I'm getting the really good fruit salad. I'm going to, you know, the one with the papaya and stuff like that. Oh, that's tasty. Oh, it's not just going to be grapes and cantaloupe. Can't stand that. When you eat a fruit salad, all it is cantaloupe. Come on, man. And it's unripened cantaloupe, too. It's crunchy. What are you doing? Where are the berries? Where's the joy? Well, I'll tell you what. I get a, Patrick, good fruit salad. Good fruit salad if I win the Powerball.
I am excited for good fruit salad.
952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Hey, there is I got to bring this up because I guarantee you the news media is going to do everything in their power to try to avoid talking about this. But if I can start off, God bless Sally Joe over at Blue Stem Prairie. If you have not read Blue Stem Prairie, it is fantastic. It is actually one of the best outstate news sources you can find. She does amazing work over there. I have been a big fan of hers. Highly recommend Blue Stem Prairie. Go follow it. She has a bit of a story here that I think needs to be expanded on. And it starts with this social media post from some guy named David Crane. And I'm just going to read the post specifically. The date of this post, it was actually posted at 8:34 a.m. on June 30th. It looks to be the evening of June 29th is the pictures that are portrayed in the social media post. From David Crane, D.C. political staffer life at Minnesota Lake Life. Absolute banger episode of the Ruthless podcast. Live on the lake, Chairman Tom Emmer and Minnesota grassroots Republicans are ready to fire Pelosi and elect Kistner to Congress, take back the Senate and the House. The episode of Ruthless, and Sally Joe has – now she's posted this social media post. And once again, it's a social media post that's at 8:34 a.m., and it looks like it took place on the evening of June 29th. The podcast mentioned above notes the dates are June 30th. The podcast is July 5th, but our tipster assures us that the taping took place on June 29th. Now, why, would you ask, is this important? And Tyler Kistner, who of course is running for a second congressional seat against Angie Craig, what's the big deal? Well, I'll tell you what. We'll take a break here in just a second. Not quite yet, but in just a second, I'll take a break. But I'll explain it because yeah, there's a story here that I think needs to be investigated a little bit more. And I'm going to give Sally Joe credit for finding this. And like I said, it sounds like someone kind of gave her the heads up on this. But this is pretty interesting. Now, before I go into break. Todd Colad sponsoring AM 950 all this week. His big thing, no matter where you're listening to it, now he's in Spain. He sent his ballot back. He still is American living over there. He sent his ballot back, I believe. He's living over there. He wants everyone to know, get out the vote. Get out the vote. Vote, vote, vote. I'm going to say it a lot more before the end of the damn show, so just get used to it. Vote. And once again, Todd sponsors AM 950 because he can't necessarily go to our sponsors. If you would like to do that, you're more than welcome to. Just give us a call at 952-946-8885, 952-946-8885 for more information. And thank you very much, Todd. I do appreciate the information. And by the way, if you do want to vote, the Secretary of State's page has all the information, how you vote, how you get registered, where your polling place is, what your ballot will look like. All right? All right. 952-946-6205. When I do come on back, what is so curious about Tyler Kistner being at the taping of this podcast? I'll explain in just a moment. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. So, I mentioned there was a podcast that was recorded by Lake Minnetonka on June 29th, the Ruthless podcast. Tyler Kistner was part of that podcast. So you're asking yourself, okay, what's the big deal here? Once again, courtesy of Blue Stem Prairie. Blue Stem received a tip Friday about a car wreck in Excelsior, Minnesota on June 29th by Minnesota 2nd District Republican congressional candidate Tyler Kistner. The accident occurred after the taping of the Ruthless podcast, in which the special guests were, amongst others, Tyler Kistner and 6th District Congressman and National Republican Congressional Committee Chair Tom Emmer. Now, here comes the reason why she basically made this, you know, that she put this all together, is that in the social media post on David Crane, there's a picture of Tyler, and it does appear that he is drinking that evening. Indeed, it sure does appear that way. The photos in the podcast document that Kistner was drinking beer during the taping of the podcast. Emmer, by the way, seems to have only consumed water. Kistner later wrecked his car on Oak Street. There are two photos from the scene of the accident, and yeah, he did some damage, man. He the front passenger side, you know, he crashed into something there. I had to tow him away. I will read the next line here, which I imagine many people are asking themselves. Was alcohol involved? We've been sent this witness statement about the wreck. Now, this is a witness statement about the wreck of Tyler Kistner's car. I'm reading this verbatim from Blue Stem Prairie. On the night of June 29th, I heard a crash near my house and went outside to see what had happened. Other neighbors were out there as well. When I was near the car, I smelled alcohol, and before the police arrived, the driver moved things out of his car and across the street, including a drawstring bag of bottles. Oh, no. I gotta get this stuff out of the car. I don't know. That might be what happened. I'm not sure. I want to read that again. This is a witness statement about the wreck. On the night of June 29th, I heard a crash near my house, went outside to see what had happened. Other neighbors were out there as well. When I was near the car, I smelled alcohol. Okay, so it's not like he's saying I was up at the car. He's basically saying I could smell it when I got near the car. Now, it's going to come back here in a second. I smelled alcohol before the police arrived. The driver was moving things out of his car and across the street, including a drawstring bag of bottles. Now, let me continue. That statement differs from the South Lake Minnetonka Police Department report. The reporting officer notes, I did not observe any indications of impairment. Okay, so you have a witness who says, yeah, man, it smelled like a liquor distributor over there. And the police officer saying, no. Here's where it gets interesting. It appears Tyler Kistner, the Republican candidate for the Minnesota 2nd District, was not breathalyzed. That being the case, Bluestrom can't say why he was driving while intoxicated. I'm positive that the South Lake Minnetonka Police Department, a black person was in a car accident, I'm sure they want to breathalyze them either at any point during the day. No, I'm sure that their standard is, well, unless we see them drinky-drinky, there's clearly nothing there. I gotta believe this, let alone on June 29th. What night was June 29th? Hold on a second. Matt's calendar moment here. June 29th. That was a Wednesday night. Now, it's not clear when this accident happened. I will say this. The podcast photos sure appear to be at sunset, which on June 29th would probably be from around 9 o'clock. All right? The photos from the accident show it's pretty much pitch black out, so it's got to be night. So let me get this right. You have a single vehicle car accident. I need someone to explain this to me. You have a single vehicle car accident at night and no one breathalyzed him, even though eyewitnesses said, "Woo-hoo-hoo, liquor!" I'm paraphrasing. I'll say what they said once again. When I was near the car, I smelled alcohol. So an eyewitness says, I smelled alcohol. It's a single vehicle accident at night out in Lake Minnetonka with what looks like a polo match had sex with an Izod t-shirt. And you're telling me no one breathalyzed this guy? You know, I said this, I was being sarcastic before. You know that if it was a minority person, that they would have been breathalyzed if it was freaking 10 in the morning. How in the hell did you not breathalyze this guy? I need someone from the South Lake Minnetonka Police Department to explain to me that even if you didn't smell alcohol, you have a single vehicle crash at night in a residential area, which did some damage to the vehicle. How did you not breathalyze him? And also, it sounds like a witness statement that said that they saw someone moving bottles out of the car and placing them on the other side of the street. I'm presuming the police got that statement. And you still didn't breathalyze him? The incident seems to have been kept very quiet, and I told the candidate replaced his totaled car with an identical one without saying anything publicly about the crash. Bluestem believes the action would require Kistner to obtain a new license plate. Perhaps someone sometime on the campaign trail has his before and after photos. It might do well for Tyler Kistner to disclose what happened. Why did the person in the neighborhood come forward? Earlier Sunday, Bill Salisbury, reporter for the Pioneer Press, Minnesota 2nd District race between Angie Craig and Tyler Kistner is very expensive toss-up. The race is considered among the closest in the nation. So, now to my knowledge, Tyler Kistner has not denied that that was him in this car crash. And they have South Lake, let's see here. This is the South Lake Minnetonka Police Department. Name Tyler Kistner. Yeah, they got Tyler Kistner listed on the name on the police report, on the incident report. So we might have had, we don't know. What we do know is it sure as hell seems like the South Minnetonka Police Department sure was doing someone a favor, because I can guarantee you this, that if you looked poor, I guarantee you they would have breathalyzed you in that situation. If I would say, I would go out as far as to say this. If I was a single dad or a dad and I was driving a kid back to their house in that neighborhood after, say, a sporting event or some kind of church event, and I would have gotten into a single vehicle accident in that neighborhood, I have a hard time believing that they would not have breathalyzed me instantly. Just started saying, sir, we wanted, can we take a breathalyzer really quick? So the question is, how in the world do you not take a breathalyzer of this guy? I will also say, boy, oh boy, didn't we just, when Hutch, the Hennepin County Sheriff, had his accident, didn't the media in this town go freaking nuts about what happened? And now all of a sudden, you have another accident. And it sure looks like Tyler Kistner was involved. And we have photo evidence that he was drinking before the event. And we have, he was there. We got the police report that has his name. And once again, let me read the eyewitness testimony. When I was near the car, I smelled alcohol. And before the police arrived, the driver moved things out of his car and across the street, including a drawstring bag of bottles. Boy. I don't. I mean, this at least there's okay. So let's take a look at and I'm going to go with Bluestem here because Sally Joe's done her work here. She got the podcast, which once again, photos and the podcast document that Kistner was drinking beer during the taping of the podcast. So at the very least, you have Tyler Kistner drinking prior to driving. Now, I'm not saying how drunk he was. We don't know because for some funny reason, the South Lake Minnetonka Police Department came up across a single vehicle accident on a late Wednesday night. And for some reason, funny reason, I don't know. They need to explain that. They decided no need to breathalyze this person. A guy that basically is the epitome of a walking frat house who's lied about his military service. Oh, as a veteran, yeah, you're a punk, dude. So we know he was at the podcast. We know that he was drinking at the podcast. We know he got into a single vehicle accident after the podcast. We have an eyewitness account that says the vehicle smelt like booze. We have an eyewitness account saying that he was moving booze bottles or bottles, I should say that's bottles, out of the vehicle beforehand. Now, the question you have to ask yourself is, will the news media cover this story like they covered Hutch? Or will they purposely try their hardest? We'll cover it after the election. We can't vilify a candidate. We've got morals. By the way, Democrats are glum about this upcoming election. Just stop, man. How is this not a major story right now? I don't know. But the candidate for the 2nd Congressional District was in a car accident. And one thing you also can clearly say, he did a hell of a lot to keep this quiet. He did a hell of a lot to keep this quiet. I mean, frankly, I think there are other questions I could ask the South Lake Minnetonka Police Department about. Is it your job to make sure certain people's accidents are shush? We'll make sure no one knows about this. No, South Lake Minnetonka Police Department, you have to explain to me how the hell you did not breathalyze this guy. Did he tell you? Did you know he was the candidate for the 2nd Congressional District when you came to the accident scene? At what point did it become clear this was a high-profile Republican candidate that you did not breathalyze? When did that become clear? A guy that we have video and audio and photo evidence of him drinking prior to the accident and an eyewitness statement saying you could smell the booze off the car. Something's rotten here. And not only is this story, I'm shocked that this story is not being covered more, but I just want to say is, do you guys remember Hutch? Do you remember the allegations against Julie Blaha, which were unfounded? And yet this town, when's Julie going to come tell us this? Well, I got a story here. Oh, I guarantee you. Let's let the Republicans come on in here. Oh, Matt, how dare you? This was a private matter. He had a little fender bender. And you don't have any evidence of whether he was drunk. The fine South Lake Minnetonka Police Department, they didn't see any reason to breathalyze the white guy in the car accident, a single vehicle car accident in the middle of the night on a Wednesday. Why are you questioning it? Your political agenda has tainted this, so we can't answer any other questions. We just have to accept it as fact. Nothing bad happened here. And so some guy says it smelt like booze and there were beer bottles or bottles were being moved from the... How do you know that he just wasn't a bottle collector? Maybe Tyler Kistner. was going around to the garbage cans of the Excelsior area and finding the recyclable bottles and putting them in his car so he could take them to the recycling center because he cares about the earth. How dare you, Matt McNeil? How dare you? But let me tell you more about Hutch, or let me make up stories about Julie Blaha. But Tyler, this is out of bounds. How dare you? That whole little skit I just did would be my impression of what a Republican would be like talking to me after this when I said, hey, why isn't anyone talking about this? That's a little bit. Oh, I'm sure we'll find out about this, but I guarantee you there's editors at news departments at the TV stations and the newspapers right now who are saying, you know, this is a story, but we're going to wait until after the election because, you know, reasons. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Outstanding work there, Blue Stem Prairie. Outstanding.
Or autotech.org.
This is Ross Stadheim, partner at MJSB Employment Justice. At our firm, we specialize in cases where our clients tried to do the right thing by reporting illegal or unethical conduct and were demoted or fired. There are laws in place that protect people like you who tried to do the right thing by reporting a problem but were retaliated against. At MJSB Employment Justice, we are fearless advocates who will protect your rights and obtain justice, whether it be a Fortune 500 company or something smaller.
Be heard. You deserve better. Contact us today at mjsbjustice.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. An election judge who leads Olmsted County's election integrity won't work the polls. They've removed Roger Mueller's assignment in the email. He asked his poll workers to photograph documents, polls, pads while on the job. Wow. Yeah, that's against the law. I mean, I have a feeling you're going to get a lot of that across the country today. People are there and they're taking pictures of your ballot. You know, people in there, you know, pushing, you know, Republican in polling places. I think it's going to be bad tomorrow. But the reality is you can't let this scare you. You cannot allow this to scare you. It doesn't matter if the Democrats just don't vote. And we've already seen the cataclysmic damage that can happen when the Democrats do not vote. Since the last election, which the Democrats showed up to vote for, we had an insurrection. We had delusional people who were basically insisting that a horse dewormer was a viable option to treat a pandemic. There are Republicans in the state who felt, even though they have zero medical schooling or experience, that they could order the Mayo Clinic, the best hospital on the planet, to do what they wanted to do. There's a lot of people that have convinced themselves that of fantastical stories about election integrity. And there are people out there who are threatening other people, on the right, threatening people because they are so frustrated their candidates can't win, at least here in Minnesota. It's a little intimidating. Don't blame you. Trust me. It's hard getting the people that are out there threatening you. They're weak. Those are weak people. The reality is this. You have to vote. You have to vote. You just have to vote. And not only do you need to vote, I've already voted. Patrick, have you voted yet?
I actually voted back in September.
Oh, look at Mr. Gold Star over there. Nicely done. In the U.S. election, right? You were like voting in like the election of Grenada or anything like that, were you?
No, it was definitely not the election in
Tunisia. Yeah, yeah, yep. He voted in Canada. No. No, he voted here in Minnesota. I voted early. A lot of people voted early. Now it's the job comes down to one thing. You have to contact everyone you know tonight and say, if you've not voted, do you need help? And there you go. There. Do you need help? Do you need help getting to the polling place tomorrow? Do you? I'm happy to help you. Do you need to get, you need help getting to the polling place? Do you need help with whatever? You know, do you need to find out where your voting polling place is? Do you need to help find out if you're registered to vote? Do you need help pulling together the documentation you'll need so that you can register for same-day voting? Have you voted? I live with some very strong women. Trust me. I've got one who is voting for the first time this year. She's had enough. I've talked about how this Generation Z, they're just tired of our crap. Because I have three of them. And all three of them are the same. They just, no. The way you guys have been doing things, we're done with that. We're going to change. And they will. But now it's time for all of us to get to the freaking polls and vote. It really is that simple. And I already know tomorrow night, well, I'm going to be here today. I'm here tomorrow for the regular show. I'm here tomorrow night for election results. And then I'm here for a show on Wednesday. And will that Wednesday be, boy, oh boy, were the polls wrong? Were all these people out there, all these news media that were telling them Democrats weren't energized? Boy, oh boy, were they wrong. Democrats pull off the big upset. Or, once again, the promise of Democratic turnout has failed, and we are looking at a very stark reality. It all comes down to you. What show do you want me to do on Wednesday? Well, if you want me to do the hoo-wah, we just kicked ass show, well, that means you need to get out there and really work tonight. Call everyone. Ask if you voted. That's all that freaking matters. That's all that matters. Dell's Radio up next, 6 o'clock hour, Native Roots Radio. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya. Vote!